now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Well, a lot to talk about today. It will be a two-parter in part two for the members that will be talking about recent developments with Planet X, Nibiru, the Brown Dwarf, the Red Dwarf, call it what you will. But I felt moved to investigate the most recent findings from one of my favorite researchers, and wow, the information is quite interesting, to say the least. I'll provide a link to the discussion on a YouTube video. For now, I'm going to talk first about more of the transgender attack on humanity, and then I'm going to talk about what is obvious to those of us who've been paying attention. Hurricane Harvey is weather weaponry. Weather weaponry has been used for a long time, folks. I've talked about Mongolian shamans utilizing their ability to create storms, lightning, thunder, as part of the battle campaigns of the Mongolians. And then I've talked about how John Dee, the astrologer royal, put out a call to all the warlocks and witches of England to brew up a storm to thwart the incoming Spanish Armada in 1588. And those of you that are descended from the Black Irish, literally, if that story is true about Dr. John Dee and Queen Elizabeth I putting out the call for all people that have elemental powers, witches, warlocks, adepts, whatever you want to call them, to put out their intentions to create a storm that thwarted and thrashed the Spanish Armada fleet in 1588. Many of the surviving Spaniards washed up in Ireland, and where they were welcomed because they were fellow Catholics, and many of the Spaniards that were thus shipwrecked interbred with the locals, and that's how you have the Black Irish. And if the story is true, I have no reason to doubt it. Many of you out there that are descended from the Black Irish, your bloodlines came into being. Your, at least the segment moving forward of the Black Irish bloodlines came into being as a direct result of utilizing elemental powers, intentions, magic, call it what you will. And it's not unusual for monarchs in all these different cultures to have magical, esoteric, ceremonial powers. You look at the Chinese, the Mandate of Heaven, the Son of Heaven, the Chinese kings, Chinese emperors. They were expected to be the intermediary between the cosmic forces of the cosmic world, the heavens above, and their court and their state, and by extension, the people. And they were regarded as having a mandate from heaven. If things went hunky-dory, things went well, if all the signs and portents from the skies augured well for the Son of Heaven's regime, and then things stayed the same. It's when, you know, things started getting a little wonky, signs in the heavens, comets, call it what you will, and then the unrest would kick in, and then the Chinese kings, emperors, whatever they were called back then they would have their hands full trying to maintain power, because it was regarded by many, such signs from the heavens manifested themselves, and certain calamities would befall the kingdom. Then it was said that the Son of Heaven, the Chinese emperor, had lost the mandate of heaven. So the point of relevance is these Chinese emperors, these Chinese kings that ruled these courts and had a strong, powerful bureaucracy that existed long before the kings took over, these kings were expected to be able to harness the power of the universe. They were expected to have magical powers, if you will. They were expected to perform a number of state bureaucratic rituals and ceremonies to make sure things stayed in order. And then you look at, you know, the War of the Roses, the line from Elizabeth Woodville and her mother. They were alleged to have magical powers. They were alleged to be, by their enemies, to be witches. Elizabeth Woodville was the daughter of Jacquetta, who was the Duchess of Bedford. And Jacquetta came from Luxembourg, and she claimed heritage descendancy from Melusina. Melusina was a water goddess who was regarded as being half serpent, go figure, right? And so, you know, it's another example of royal bloodlines, hybridized bloodlines, magical powers ascribed to people in these magical bloodlines, and then they wind up having some influence in affairs of state, in the high courts of this, that, or the other kingdom or queendom, whatever the case may be. There are stories that Elizabeth and her mother, Jacquetta, had utilized their powers to create battlefield conditions favorable to the side of the dynastic struggles they were a part of. It's not unusual in ancient times, fast forwarding all the way up to today, we know stories about Bohemian Grove and Skull and Bones, etc., etc. It's not unusual for the so-called elite to have these magical powers. And nowadays, they don't even really need to utilize magic to, you know, whip up thunderstorms or what have you. They just utilize technology, which came from this demiurgic spirit to begin with, right? So always keep that in mind, that whether weaponry, whether it was conjured up, manifested by magical, esoteric, elemental means, and then, you know, I remind you of late great intertribal medicine man, Rolling Thunder. Eyewitnesses have seen him call lightning down from the sky. He was alleged to have set off a fantastic electrical thunderstorm in the San Francisco Bay Area the night before a bunch of other tribal elders from a number of different tribes congregated in the San Francisco Bay Area for a rain dance. He got the jump on everyone else, did it on his own, and eyewitnesses said it was the largest, most freakish electrical thunderstorm that had been manifested, or had rather manifested itself for some time. So there's nothing unusual about the concept of individuals and or by extension a state or a nation state or a tribe utilizing weather weaponry in their battles against their perceived foes. In this case, the foes are, you know, the human race, the animals, the planet itself, right? So before I talk more about Hurricane Harvey and their targeting of Texas and the all kinds of chaos that they've deliberately created, and thank you once again, people of all races, for banding together, helping each other out. And I'll talk more about this. Whites helping blacks, blacks helping whites, whites helping people of all colors and all races. There's a picture making the rounds of a guy with a Confederate flag on the side of his tent, you know, going around helping all these people of all races. Just wonderful. Just spitting it back, so to speak. Don't mean to be so vulgar about it, but, you know, just kind of throwing it back in the faces of the manipulators, the socialist, tribalist, collectivist, cultural Marxists who are trying to create a race war in America and the rest of the world for that matter. But right now I'm going to talk about this transgender tsunami wave that's occurring, and how they're just pulling out all the stops and they're getting so aggressive and so in your face about their transgenderism, and how really it's all about child abuse, all about profiling, grooming kids for pedophilia. Okay, here's an article from californiafamily.org. This is the website of the California Family Council, a Christian organization which has been standing in the gap fighting against all this transgender pedophilia stuff in the formerly great state of California. The article is written by Greg Burt, was published August 4th, 2017. And here's the article. A private primary school in Orange County, California is facing a discrimination lawsuit from parents who claim the school refused their request to treat their 8-year-old son as a girl. Okay, let me read that bit again. A private primary school in Orange County, California is facing a discrimination lawsuit from parents who claim the school refused their request to treat their 8-year-old son as a girl. The parents, Priya Shah and Jasprit Brar, say Heritage Oak Private School in Yorba Linda refused to use female pronouns. I was talking about that last week. They're making an issue about pronouns now. How the Heritage Oak Private School, it's a private school, take them out if you don't like their policies, all right? And shut up about it. Okay. Heritage Oak Private School in Yorba Linda refused to use female pronouns to refer to their son, denied his request, or is it really the parents' idea to begin with, tip there, denied his request to wear a girls' school uniform and gave him access to a staff restroom instead of a girls' bathroom as requested. They just keep pushing the envelope, pushing the boundaries. I want this. I want that. We want this. We want that. You know, our son is really a girl. He has to dress a certain way. You have to make all these accommodations. Let him use the girls' bathroom. You have to call him or her, etc., etc., etc. They just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. According to the Orange County Register, several lawsuits have been filed against public schools for transgender discrimination before, but the parents' attorney, Catherine Eidman, told the Orange County Register this is one of the first cases targeting a private school. The lawsuit accuses the school of violating California's UNRU Civil Rights Act, which states, all persons within the jurisdiction of the state are free and equal, and no matter what their sex, race, color, religion, ancestry, national origin, disability, medical condition, genetic information, marital status, sexual orientation, citizenship, primary language, or immigration status, are entitled to the full and equal accommodations, advantages, facilities, privileges, or services in all business establishments of every kind whatsoever. According to the same act, sex, quote-unquote, is defined as follows. Sex includes, but is not limited to, pregnancy, childbirth, or medical conditions related to pregnancy or childbirth. Gee, I didn't know pregnancy was a gender, okay? Sex also includes, but is not limited to, a person's gender. Gender means sex, and includes a person's gender identity and gender expression. Gender expression means a person's gender-related appearance and behavior, whether or not stereotypically associated with a person's assigned sex at birth. So just more pushing the envelope, more making demands and demanding that society and civilization conform to their twisted, bizarre standards, which is all just about letting entities in and just grooming children to be preyed upon by pedophiles. The parents of this kid... It's like they're the ones that made that kid want to dress up like a girl. They're the ones that pushed that boy to be a girl. And like I said, it happened to a friend of mine where her son was, you know, pulled aside by a school teacher and said, "Don't you want to be a girl? Don't you want to know what it's like to have a vagina? Pardon my Anunnaki. Don't you want to know what it's like to be a girl and to have a different body?" I mean, they're telling this to her young boy, okay? That's how in your face they are. They've pulled out all the stops, right? According to the lawsuit, the boy's mother, Priya, teaches college courses in gender and transgender theory. So she took it seriously when her son, Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, who has a preference for pink clothes and girls' toys, told her at age 7 he was a girl. Yeah, I don't believe that for a second. She just happens to be teaching gender and transgender theory in college. If this suit is successful, faith-based schools in the state could be forced to determine a child's gender by his or her subjective feelings and not by his or her God-given biology, or face losing their tax-exempt status. Oh, there goes your 501c3. Boys and girls would be forced to use the same bathrooms and showers. Boys could compete in girls' sporting events, and school staff and students would be compelled to use male pronouns for females and vice versa. I remember when female tennis players didn't even want to be on the same court with Dr. Rene Richards, who was was he just a transgender, or did he actually go through the sex change operation? But anyway, they didn't like the idea of basically competing against a man, right? And now, you know, there's this transgender guy Now he's calling himself a woman. He's taking part, I think it's in UFC fighting. And he's beating the crap out of these female fighters in the ring, right? That's like female abuse. You have this guy who thinks he's a girl, or at least tells people he's a girl, and he's pummeling the hell out of these females in UFC bouts. And the article concludes by saying, it's time for Christian leaders throughout California to stand up publicly for religious liberty and for the privacy of his children before it's too late. Now, this is an alarming development, folks, because they can just say, oh, no, you know, we're going to just put our kid in a school set up specifically for transgender kids. They've got the money to do that. If they wanted to have a school district of multiple schools and nothing but transgender kids, churning them out like a factory, right? All these transgender kids, because they're distorted and the infested parents and the societies they come from. If they wanted to have their own transgender schools and transgender school districts, they could. But what they're doing is they're deliberately targeting these private schools, which are Christian faith-based schools, and saying, nope, you got to do things our way. What's mine is mine. What's yours is mine. Typical tribalist collectivist attitude of just coming in, playing the victim, and just wanting to take over, right? So just keep that in mind. This is CaliforniaFamily.org, and it's about this case where a private Christian school is being sued by this transgender family because they're not catering to their transgender child. What used to be a boy is now considered a girl. Okay. And before I talk about Hurricane Harvey, I want to talk a bit about how identity politics, in particular victim identity consciousness, victim identity politics, has found its way into the research field, into the truther movement, into the podcaster arena, right? These people contact you if you're a podcaster, and whether you know them or not, whether you're friends with them or not, sometimes, you know, there can be complete strangers right out of the blue. Other times, you know, someone you've known pretty well. And usually the appeal is something like this. It's, oh, you have to get me on your show. My information is so important, I have to be on the show, right? And then if you don't get them on the show, or if you don't get them on the show in exactly the way they want you to, then, you know, they whip out the victim card. Oh, you know, so-and-so wouldn't have me on his show. He's a disinfo agent. He's a shill. He's a traitor. Because he doesn't want me to come onto his show and talk about the truth, right? You know, my attitude is go out and form your own show. Go out and get your own podcast going. Go out and have your own website attacked again and again by, brute force, multiple incessant denial of service attacks, why don't you, right? That's what I say. Go out and do this on your own. Do you have any idea how many times I've contacted people and asked them to be guests on the Cosmic Switchboard show? And these people, they don't even deign to reply. They don't even throw me a bone and, oh, sorry, you know, been busy, really busy, can't do it. And, you know, sometimes they big shot you, you know. Richard Dolan, oh, you know, I'll be busy for the entire 2017 and 2018 too. You know, I will not have time to go onto your show, right? I remember when he just popped up out of nowhere as just an academic interested in UFOs, and now he can't even be bothered to come onto a show and talk about UFOs or talk about whatever else he's into. You know, you contact other people and they don't even bother replying, and I know part of it. I know part of the reason why is, oh, this James Bartley person, he talks about shape-shifting reptilians. I don't want to go on his show. I don't want to, lose my credibility because I come on to Bartley's show and this guy is all into UFOs and aliens and chemtrails and all this other stuff, right? Oh, so they're all worried about their bloody credibility, so they don't even deign to reply, right? I mean, I've had to develop a thick skin, folks, and not let it bother me. I mean, I could have played the role of the victim. Nobody wants to come onto my show. Nobody loves me. I need a hug. Which is what groups of people were doing after Trump was elected into office. These liberals would all gather together and do this group hug with each other to calm themselves down, right? Because they're playing the victim again. Oh, we didn't get Hillary Clinton in there. Oh, we're going to be victims. And so you have all these people nowadays, it's like, oh, you know, you won't let me on your show, and they're going to play the victim card, and you won't do exactly what they want, and, you know, they play the victim card, right? Well, I say go start your own show and find out what it's like. Find out what it's like to do these gigs. Find out what it's like to really struggle just to find someone to come on your show. And you know what? I make a point of getting people on the show who are not well-known, but who have important information anyway, because it's important to me. One does not have to be a big name in order to provide valid, meaningful, important, impactful information. That's how I feel about it anyway. Because a true leader helps others to become leaders in their own right. They're not afraid. See, while I'm on the subject, I'm going to talk about the incessant name-dropping that's been going on, too. This is one of my pet peeves. Oh, you know, me and James Bartley, we're like this. Just imagine index finger, second finger intertwined, right? We're like this. People I barely even know name-dropping me, saying that we're all old pals and best friends, and by implication, by inference, suggesting to all and sundry that I am 100% supportive of their work, I am 100% behind them and their findings and their belief systems, BS for short. Lots of name dropping. I thought that stuff ended with Donald Marshall and the guy who, you know, is part of the Yellow Lantern Hexagonal Alliance, right? I thought it ended with those two. But now it's like it's cropping up again. And, you know, I've got my head down. I'm getting work done. I'm trying to get some stuff done. And I don't even realize all this is going on until someone tells me about it. And I don't know. I guess they want to bask in the reflective glow of James Bartley or something. I didn't know I had a reflective glow. I never walked into a store and, you know, the people working in the store were struck blind momentarily, you know, because of the radiance emanating from my auric field. Never happened, right? Because I don't have a reflective glow. But it seems that people out there, they want to bask in my reflective glow, so they keep name-dropping me, right, over and over. So keep that in mind, folks. If you keep hearing these people say, oh, James Bartley this, James Bartley that, we're like this, right? Imagine index and second finger intertwined. We're like this. We're mates, we're buddies, not so fast. Maybe, maybe not, right? And, you know, just to put it out there that this name-dropping, this victim identity consciousness, this victim identity politics mindset infiltrated this field that we're in. Okay, Hurricane Harvey. First of all, the powers that want to be, the Illuminati, call them what you will, the reptilian shapeshifters working through all these hybrid minions, they like to use symbolism and reverse symbolism. We saw it when they announced the assassination of Osama bin Laden, right? A.K.A. Osama, where you been hiding, right? Well, he's been dead for all this time. That's why they can't find him, right? And here I am, just minding my own business, watching a Philadelphia Phillies game on ESPN. What lousy sports baseball coverage they have. And I'm sitting there just watching this game, and next thing you know, they announce that the U.S. Navy, of course, SEAL Team 6, oh, you know, SEAL Team 6, bow down, right, has gone out and killed Osama bin Laden. And we know that whole story is nonsense. What happens, all the knuckleheads in the stadium, they start getting alerts on their mobile phones, right? Out of the blue, they start getting alerts. Bin Laden is dead. And pretty soon you have these chants going on in the ballpark. The Philadelphia Phillies ballpark. USA, USA, USSA. And the sports announcers who are calling the game, they take the time to talk about, oh, you know, they finally got bin Laden, right? And it was all nonsense. But what's the symbolism behind that? Well, Philadelphia is where they announced it, right? I happened to be watching a Philadelphia Phillies game, the Philadelphia Constitutional Convention, the Philadelphia Liberty Bell, Ball, Phoenician God, right? Liberty Ball, Liberty Bell. Ball, the Phoenician goddess. It's all symbolism, folks. Here they are. They're actively striving to deep six the Constitution once and for all with all these wars, rumors of wars, false flag attacks, fake assassinations. They even made a movie about it, Oh Dark Hundred. Just as fake as the movie Flight 93, right? Let's roll. It's fake, fake, fake. And so they're looking for the emotional impact. And then all these knuckleheads, who knows, some of them could have been crisis actors. They start crowding around outside of the White House and outside of, you know, other government buildings and start chanting USA, USA, CIA, CIA, right? What a joke. And so we see something similar with Harvey. Why did they choose the name Harvey? Okay. Well, I have my own guesses about that. And it's guesswork. Don't take it on board. Just go with what you feel is to be, you know, what you feel is right, right? But where did it hit and have such a horrible impact? In Houston. Houston was named after General Sam Houston. General Sam Houston was a very interesting guy. I mean, it was his forces in the wake of the Battle of the Alamo. His forces had caught General Santa Anna's forces along the San Jacinto River sleeping, caught them unprepared and routed them, a force nearly twice the size of General Sam Houston's own forces. And as a direct result of that, as a direct result of General Santa Anna's capitulation of his Mexican army, Texas was able to secede from Mexico and become the Lone Star State because they had not been incorporated into the U.S. federal government yet. And eventually they named Houston after General Sam Houston. Houston opposed the secession of Texas into the Confederacy. Interesting. Despite being a slaveholder himself, Houston had voted against the spread of slavery to new territories of the U.S. during his 13 years in the Senate. Very interesting. Not many people also know that he was the first elected president of the Republic of Texas, but he was also a governor of Tennessee. He was, as far as I know, the only American elected governor of two different states. Right? Tennessee and Texas. He also was an honorary Cherokee. Go figure. Let me read from this website. After running away from his family as a teenager, Houston lived for nearly 3 years with the Cherokee tribe in eastern Tennessee. Houston learned fluent Cherokee, embraced the tribe's customs, and was given the name Black Raven. After resigning in disgrace as Tennessee governor, the despondent Houston took refuge with the Cherokee in the Arkansas Territory. There, the tribe formally adopted him, and he married a Cherokee woman, Tiana Rogers, in a tribal ceremony. Houston served as the tribe's spokesman and advocated with the federal government. As a U.S. senator, he pressed for Native American rights. He sometimes wore traditional Cherokee garb to government meetings in Washington, D.C. General Sam Houston, who was a politician, statesman, politician of Texas and Tennessee, very interesting guy, and it was his forces in the Battle of the San Jacinto River where he defeated the Mexican commander, General Santa Anna, in the wake of the Battle of the Alamo, and thereby won Texas independence. That's why they're called the Lone Star State, because there was a period of time before they were incorporated into the federal government of the U.S., and after they'd broken away from Mexico, there was a period of time when they were basically on their own, hence the term the Lone Star State, and they went and named Houston after him, General Sam Houston. Now, Houston is a major, major transportation hub, major, major port, industry center. Man, if they're going to directed energy and weather weaponry at any one place in the South, That was a lucrative target all across the board, as far as, you know, dislocation and loss of life and all the people there and the industry there. They couldn't have chosen a better target where they could hammer the state of Texas, which, remember, has, you know, been against a lot of this stuff, against the immigration, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll get into that. And also, we're talking about symbology. And this is just me thinking of this. It may not really have any connection, but William Harvey was a former FBI agent who left the Bureau in disgrace because of his hard drinking and other issues. And then he wound up joining the CIA, and he was directly involved in the assassination of JFK, Jack Kennedy. So, and this was reported by the son of E. Howard Hunt. E. Howard Hunt, infamous CIA operative, who was himself involved with the JFK assassination. Before he died, he gave what amounted to a deathbed confession to his son. And among a number of CIA operatives, E. Howard Hunt mentioned William Harvey as being involved in the assassination of Jack Kennedy. And surprise, surprise, here comes Hurricane Harvey making landfall and being stalled out by the weather manipulators right over a large area of southeastern Texas. And it happens to be named Harvey. I just don't think that's a coincidence, but that's just me. And from what I've read recently, the area that's been flooded in Texas is as large as Lake Michigan. Okay, I haven't confirmed that. I read that in an article somewhere. Made my eyes bulge out of my eye sockets. Holy Toledo, right? The flooded area is as large as Lake Michigan. That's a huge, huge expanse of territory. But that's what happens when they stall out these storms over places, and they keep feeding these storms in order to make them just drop heaps and heaps and heaps of water. Okay? And now, like I alluded to earlier, we're seeing all kinds of photographs, all kinds of accounts of people of all races chipping in, helping each other. Just heartwarming and reassuring to know that despite all the efforts at divide and conquer, despite all the efforts at race baiting and creating division in the United States, that, you know, when push comes to shove, and Bill Hamilton used to talk about this too, Bill Hamilton, outstanding researcher out of Southern California, he used to say that basically, you know, if you stripped everyone naked and put them out in the desert and had them all look at each other, the one thing they would have in common besides being naked is they're all human, right? So, you know, he was talking, I forget the context of the discussion he was having at the time, but it had to do with, you know, who we are, who we are meant to be, who we used to be, right? Before all this divide and conquer stuff kicked in. It's like you remove our clothes and, you know, I mean, when you look at deer are naked, but you look at them, they're deer, right? And maybe they're, you know, the camouflage patterning, the coloration may vary from place to place. Maybe their antlers, you know, may differ from place to place, but they're still deer, okay? They may be kind of like slight variations from one deer to another, but they're still deer. And that's what was the point that Bill Hamilton was making. You know what? You strip all of us of our clothes. You put us out in the middle of the desert, and we're just standing there looking at each other. One thing we'll all have in common is that we're people, right? And so now what's happening, and I've seen this before, folks, is the people, when it comes to crunch time, now there's still going to be, you know, the sewer scum out there trying to loot the place and, you know, take advantage of all this dislocation and whatnot. You know, loot stores and loot houses, but that's just, you know, they're just parasites to begin with, so that's going to happen regardless. But in the main, what we're seeing are people of all races helping each other. You know, white people helping colored people, if you will, black, brown, yellow, and people of color helping white people, and they're all banding together. I've seen this before. The Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989. I was sitting there waiting for Game 3 of the World Series to start, and the earthquake hit. I was living in San Jose, California at the time, and that was a powerful earthquake, folks. But what happened in the aftermath of the earthquake in places like Oakland, where, you know, nowadays the cops don't even bother. It's a no-go zone, okay? You have these no-go Muslim places like in Stockholm and, or rather, somewhere in Sweden and places in France and elsewhere where the cops and emergency services don't even go to because they get attacked by the Muslims and the Africans there. Well, for a long time now, and they cite budget reasons, the Oakland Police Department don't even go into places in Oakland, California because they just, yeah, they feel it's not worth it, right? But back in 89, when that earthquake hit and the Cypress structure, it's a two-level highway called the Cypress structure, when it collapsed and mashed like a bunch of cars and motorists, you know, in the lower part of the road, people of all colors, mostly blacks, were the first ones there because that was their community, came out and they were helping people. Didn't matter what the motorists looked like, what color they were, young or old. The blacks were the first on the scene. They were the first on the scene with ropes and with, you know, pulling the people out of the rubble, right? So, you know, when push comes to shove, what happens is our essential humanity kicks in. It overrides all this divide and conquer race baiting crap. And people begin chipping in and helping one another. So I am heartened by the fact, despite the efforts of the lamestream media, the fake news, CNN, and they're still trying to exploit this tragedy, right? Charlie Hebdo, that periodical out of France somewhere, they're the ones that were claiming to be victimized back in the day, which led directly to those false flags in Paris. Well, they've come out with a cartoon depicting all the people that have been harmed and killed by the Hurricane Harvey. They're depicting them all as a bunch of Nazis, you know, as if they deserve it, right? That's how evil these people are. Now, let me read from you an article, which and I will elaborate more on it myself, because I'd like to add my two thoughts to some of the articles I read. The articles kind of form a basis, but then I kind of, you know, veer off in different tangents. But I think it bears repeating, okay? This is from twofeed.org. Hurricane Harvey, a geoengineered superstorm targets Texas. Why? Okay, from the article, why South Texas? Why now? State of the nation. Then they show a picture of the map of the south of Texas, of the southeastern, the Gulf states, right? And they show, you know, just the wide expanse of the impacted areas impacted by Hurricane Harvey. Like all geoengineered storms fabricated by the NWO globalist cabal, Hurricane Harvey was fastidiously manufactured and directed at Texas. Because this meteorological fact is now self-evident, the most important question that can be asked and answered is, quote, why has the great state of Texas been targeted yet again, unquote. And this is not the first time that directed energy weapons, that weather weaponry, etc., has been turned loose on the Lone Star State. The analysis that follows explains the real purposes behind Hurricane Harvey. First, it's important to note that this superstorm is still very much in progress. Some of the best weather forecast models have predicted up to 40 inches of rain in the most affected areas over the coming days. This article is a couple days old now. As is often the case, this hurricane is not just about a calamitous wind-damaging event as much as it was geoengineered to be a mega rain dumper. Catastrophic winds typically limit their fury mainly to the coastlines, although they can cut a swath of great destruction that follows the path of the eyewall. Continuously falling rains, on the other hand, like they do in Pakistan, like they do in Africa, this is not an isolated event, folks. They do this all over the place. And what's even more evil is they tie it in with the futures markets in Chicago and elsewhere, where they literally bet on the fact that a given part of the world is going to have famines, droughts, et cetera, which is going to affect these markets. And because, you know, the players at the very high financial levels are plugged into, in fact, have some degree of control over the geoengineering types, the weather manipulation types, They can accurately, well, not even predict, they can determine ahead of time which places will be hit by droughts, which places will be hit by torrential rain and flooding, thereby affecting the crop yields in those places. And in the Chicago, you know, markets, they bet accordingly. So they gamble and they profit on the suffering of people, which they plan ahead of time through manipulation of weather, okay? Continuously falling rains, on the other hand, can cause an apocalyptic deluge that paralyzes major metro areas like Corpus Christi and Houston. These slow-motion rain events and subsequent flooding always prove to be the worst of the 1-2 punch packed by many hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico. When the damage caused by Hurricane Harvey is finally assessed, it will likely prove to be one of the worst man-made disasters in Texas history. Therefore, it behooves investigators to ascertain why the geoengineers were ordered to target Texas with such a cataclysmic storm. Why South Texas? Why now? Number one, because Texas has been at the forefront of the anti-illegal immigration movement. Governor Greg Abbott has been clear about Texan policy against illegal aliens improperly entering the country, and the Texas legislature has passed some of the strongest laws in the nation which attempt to limit the massive influx of unlawful immigrants from Mexico, actually Mexico and Point South, El Salvador, all these other places. By launching a weather attack on South Texas, the Mexican border will now become even more porous than it already is. There is now so much weather chaos in the southern quadrant of the state that a conducive environment has been created for the much more illegal border crossing and human trafficking. That particular stretch of border is already known to be the most vulnerable to criminal activity. Shootouts between Mexican military and drug cartels near Texas border occur. Occur is my word I threw in there. Texas, number two. Texas has been ground zero for the war on drugs practically forever. Absolutely. You look at the whole failed war on drugs, and folks, we always hear about the juxtaposition now that it's taken for granted of law enforcement moving gradually, steadily, incrementally into the military sphere, and now the all stops have been pulled. For example, Donald Trump, or a minion signing off on behalf of Donald Trump, has done away with all restrictions and all barriers to the 1033 program, which allows the military to offload all kinds of brand new military hardware to law enforcement agencies all over the U.S. Remember, these law enforcement agencies have already been militarized. Many of the cops and many of the higher-ranking cops and sheriffs in these police departments and sheriff's departments are Israeli-trained. Many of them have literally been Israel, right, and trained. And many of the people in the higher levels at these various departments are basically, they're basically working for the Israelis, okay? And so you have that going on the one hand. And then on the other hand, you have the 1033 program, which allows the federal government, the military, to offload heaps of military hardware to the law enforcement agencies around the U.S. And so Trump has just signed off on something that will remove any and all restrictions to that 1033 program. And we're not just talking about like Kevlar vest and helmets, and we're talking about helicopters. We're talking about armored personnel carriers. We're talking about grenade launchers, right? We're talking about drones, armed drones, heavy artillery, if need be, including like MRAPs, like mine-resistant armored personnel carriers. It's like, why would they need that, right? But, it's a boon for the arms manufacturers, and it's all at taxpayer expense, of course. So they're just offloading all this gear now to law enforcement. So that's going on, okay? These things, Trump just signed off on this, so these things are not operating in a vacuum. And getting back to this war on drugs, this was an early example of the cooperation between law enforcement on the one hand and the military on the other. eventually what happened was members of the U.S. Marines, Army Rangers, Delta Force, you name it, they began training law enforcement, particularly so-called SWAT teams in dynamic entry, etc., etc. So the lines were being blurred between what's military, what's civilian, what's law enforcement, what's military operations. Now they have a term for it. They have for some time, MOUT, military operations in urban terrain, and modern military around the modern world have trained for MOUT for some time now. And increasingly, a U.S. military is being trained to operate in an urban environment. Used to be places like Fort Irwin and other places like it, Fort Irwin, Southern California, or like that's the National Tank Training Center, basically. Armored warfare is conducted there a lot, armored warfare training. And places like it, they would train for a future prospective enemy. But now, increasingly, in some of these military training reservations and sites, the full-scale mock-ups that they're training in look just like American streets. They look like Main Street USA, right? Gas stations, liquor stores, hotels, motels. That's where these military forces are increasingly training in. They're training for basically warfare in America. And then on top of that, you look at all the militarized law enforcement, and this really got a boost with this bogus war on drugs. We know it's bogus because they're the ones, the intelligence agencies and affiliated organized crime networks are the ones bringing the drugs in. But they use it as an excuse, this war on terror, really to militarize law enforcement and to condition people to military operations in urban terrain in U.S. soil. So now we have, like, you know, Delta Force, you know, flying around in Black Hawk helicopters all over the place, all over America. They're terrorizing the citizens. They're fast roping down onto rooftops, and right, they don't even bother warning the citizens of a given area where they're going to get to conduct these operations. They just do them, right? And they have all these simulated battle sounds. It just scares the hell out of people. Okay, so keep that point in mind. Texas was at the front lines of this failed war on drugs. Okay, continuing with the article, Mexican mules, drug dealers, and runners are enlisted to maintain this professional drug trafficking operation for a variety of reasons that are beyond the scope of this expose. Given the tremendous impacts of the storm, drug running will be easier than ever. Mexico's fierce opposition to Trump's border wall has always been due to the huge dent such an obstacle would put into drug profits made by the cartels, which fund politicians and police alike. And they could have added fund politicians and police alike on both sides of the border. Texas has been quite enthusiastic toward the wall because of how much crime will be reduced and state services under less strain. And the globalists do whatever is necessary to soften up a state in order to bring them in line with, say, California. I was just talking about California and that lawsuit against that private Christian school. Number three, George Soros' Purple Revolution is in dire need of mercenary conscripts. Many of the Antifa terrorists, for instance, are actually illegal aliens who will do anything to stay in the USA. They're actually recruiting illegal aliens into law enforcement and into the military. That's been going on for some time now. They give them citizenship. That's why they always wear black face masks whenever they show up to terrorize a Patriot Movement protest. Otherwise, they would be found out as coming from south of the border. Soros uses the very same MO, using foreigners to do his dirty work by staging the immigrant crisis throughout the European Union, and that's a whole other story. Four countries in Europe have banded together to open the floodgates to let even more Africans and Middle Easterners into Europe through Spain, through Italy, France and Germany, but don't quote me on the France and Germany, but certainly Spain and Italy being ports of entry. That could be the final nail in the coffin unless something is done about all this as far as Europe staying Europe, right? Back to the article, these Spanish-speaking illegal aliens are also desperate for a job, having no legal status under Trump administration policy. Many of these border jumpers are real terrorists, also known as Wahhabi jihadists, absolutely, who have been shipped in from the Middle East. Soros and company stealthily created a system not too unlike the rat lines after World War II which transported Nazi war criminals to various protected destinations around the world, especially South America. Odessa, the rat lines, etc., etc. In the case of Texas, genuine ISIS terrorists have been conveyed across the border in recent years in preparation for the Soros-sponsored Clinton-inaugurated Purple Revolution. Superstorms like Harvey that hit Texas only makes this seditious conspiracy much easier to manage undetected because of post-hurricane pandemonium. Number 4, Texas is the second largest state in the union in both size and population. After California, the Lone Star State is top on the target list where it concerns the implementation of the UN's Agenda 21 and its new and improved version 2030, Agenda for Sustainable Development. As follows, Texas deluge, what is a geoengineered weather event to enforce compliance with Agenda 21? And then what you have also is referred to as disaster capitalism by people like Naomi Klein. You know, some of Naomi Klein's information is good, but, you know, she hews closely to the fake climate change agenda. She hews closely to the whole fake 9/11 narrative. But she has written some decent books, you know, disaster capitalism and things like that, where she makes a point, although she doesn't get to the root of the issue, she makes a point that whenever these disasters hit, the tsunami in Indonesia and you know, and other places, when these big natural or artificially generated calamities hit, then all these corporations come in and, you know, you know, whatever's left standing or basically just the land or the property that's been destroyed, they just buy it up. And we saw that in the aftermath of the American Civil War, where all the carpetbaggers came down to the South. You know, they promised the newly freed blacks, yeah, you know, you vote for us and you do what, you know, we say, you'll get 40 acres and a mule. That was the appeal to the newly emancipated so-called blacks, to differentiate them from what was regarded even then as quote-unquote Poe white trash, right? Because the Northerners, the carpetbaggers, they viewed anyone in the South, particularly those that were not landed aristocracy, landed gentry, that were just eking out a subsistence living on their own little plot of land, their own little farm, they were generically referred to as poor white trash. That's where the term came from, right? Anyway, back to the story. Both of these agendas require the ceding of such authority by the 50 states to the United Nations. Texas has never been one to go with the flow, especially the New World Order flow. This fiercely independent state will not be dictated to even by the U.S. federal government. So why would it take orders from an international body run by George Soros-controlled globalists? And look at all the people in Texas. They're armed. Many of them have, you know, concealed carry. And again, these things don't operate in a vacuum. There's a lot of people in the UK that feel the huge floods that came about once again because of weather manipulation a few years back, several years back, was meant to literally sweep people off the land and then have these corporations buy up the land after the people have been flooded from them, right? Flooded off, killed, swamped, flooded off, right? So this MO, this tactic has been utilized before, again and again. It's not only happening in the U.S., it's happening all over the place. Number 5, Texas has led the country against the now ubiquitous rhymes with iniquitous, LGBTQ agenda. Just talking about that. Legislation has been reflexively proposed whenever traditional Texan society has found itself under assault by the LGBT co-conspirators, the ultra-liberal elements in state government who are aggressively promoting this nefarious agenda will not be deterred. Devastating weather events like Harvey can always be used by the cabal to threaten and or coerce any state government that is not compliant with the latest LGBT push. There is also the hidden agenda that occurs with all LGBT initiatives regarding their immediate goal of normalizing pedophilia. Absolutely. That's what it's all about. This covert plan is significantly responsible for the current crime wave of child trafficking, child sexual abuse, and other child exploitation crimes. It ought to be quite easy to understand how such weather chaos near the Mexican border will make it much easier to traffic children coming up from Central and South America unsupervised. The $64,000 question. With the election of Donald Trump, how do these criminally insane psychopaths still retain total control over America's weather? Why are treasonous geoengineers still permitted to wreak havoc anywhere in America anytime they want to, Hurricane Harvey wreaks havoc in Texas. If these questions are not answered soon, the U.S. mainland will be further attacked by weather weapons of even greater power. And I saw the photos of Joplin, Missouri, folks. That wasn't just a tornado that ripped through Joplin. That was like a super tornado, and it just flattened that place, right? And I felt from the start that that was weather weaponry also. If these questions are not answered, the U.S. mainland will be further attacked by weather weapons of even greater power. The geoengineering establishment now has at their disposal weaponry that far exceeds anything humanity has ever seen before. Also, Hurricane Andrew, they had a perfect test bed. The Florida Peninsula, they seal off the top part of the state. No one can go out. And then they hammer the lower part of the state with a super Hurricane Andrew, right? That was clearly weather weaponry. Thousands and thousands of people have died. The total number of casualties has always been underplayed. The media, of course, was right along with the cover-up. Conclusion. Eventually, the people will wake up to the fact that the use of global climate change has actually been fabricated using geoengineered techniques. While the sun's activity has also exerted its fair share of influence on the highly manipulated global warming scenario, it's the systematic chemical geoengineering in concert with HAARP technologies that really produce so much wacky weather and climate chaos. Geoengineering is a primary cause of global climate change, not CO2. That the worldwide geoengineering programs have provided cover for so much weather warfare being conducted. This predicament has allowed the globalist perps to wage weather warfare anywhere on planet Earth with virtual impunity. Okay. The author of that article talked about how the weather manipulation advances the Agenda 21 agenda, how it advances the human trafficking agenda, how it advances just about every single the LGBT agenda, right? Okay, we've reached the end of the first segment of Bartley's commentaries on the cosmic wars. In the second half, I will talk more about Planet X Nibiru issues, ET issues, and other issues. And for those of you that are listening, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to the Cosmic Switchboard website, sign up, and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next hour. Thank you.